And now it's time for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and cinematographer and educator Cameron Shaw. And now, here's your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Joanne. Welcome, everybody, to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely St. Patrick's Day weekend, even if you're not Irish. But we also hope that you can spare us an hour of your time today, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We would love to hear from you, and we hope you will call very, very soon so we can get you on very, very soon. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll free. We do have a toll free number, yes. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. And if that were not enough, then it should be, you can also email us, and that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. We always prefer that you call, because we enjoy talking to you, but you can email us. That's just fine. Also, if you'd like to hear us in live stream, that is at kalw.org. And of course, the podcast should be up in a reasonable amount of time today, thanks to Joanne, and it will also be at kalw.org and many other places. But please start with KLW. That would be appreciated. So once more, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. We'll be taking questions on just about every subject. We tend to stick more to arts, literature, history, geography, miscellaneous, not so much sports or rock and roll. So, but I guess they sneak through from time to time. But anyway, just to let you know the general parameters. Okay, we're going to start with a round of introduction and then a round of questions. And here's the first. Cameron Shaw is lamenting being an adult, aren't we all? Between taxes and having to dye her own cereal milk green on St. Patrick's Day, she would really rather be a child again.
Yeah. No one's. Yeah, no one does that for me as a grown-up. It's weird. All right.
That'd be your husband's job.
Yeah, you know, I should get one of those.
Yeah.
That's another adult kind of thing. Yeah.
All right. Upset by the new tariffs, Lori Fisher discovered that it is far cheaper to fly to Dublin, drink a Guinness at the Temple Bar Club, stay at the, Shillelagh?
Yes.
Stay at the Shillelagh Inn and fly home than to drink one at home. So he'll be celebrating St. Patrick's from afar.
I will. And in honor of St. Patrick's Day, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, will only drive through an intersection on a green light. He'll see other motorists agree.
All right. That is us. And we'll begin the questioning with Cameron Shaw.
Okay. I have a list from, this is from Barnabys.com, of the highest grossing movie costumes at auction. So this is the top five highest grossing movie costumes from, you know, all of cinema history that have sold at auction and how much they each grossed. If you can guess how much they grossed, great.
Just to clarify, yes. Is this a full costume or like a piece of a costume or?
It is a little bit of both.
Okay.
So actually, no, this is a, I'm not going to say it's a full costume for every single one of them. They are mostly is the primary outfit. Maybe okay. not so every not, single piece of it.
It's not Dorothy's ruby red shoes in The Wizard of Oz, because that's what I thought was the most.
It is not the shoes from Dorothy's Ooh. Costume. That's the one that I was quibbling about. So yeah. the shoes Ooh. Are not included, but
But her dress?
Yes, her
Is that it?
gingham dress is
All
number
right.
four.
Wow.
Grossed 156, one point, I'm sorry, not 156 million,
Whew.
$1.56 million. And actually don't, I didn't write the years down that these were sold, so I apologize for that. So Dorothy's gingham dress is number four on my list, yes.
What do we got, Dana?
Dorothy's gingham dress. I think that takes up all the Wizard of Oz stuff. So,
Maybe.
oh, maybe. Oh, okay. Oh, there was a flying. What did I read about? Anything like one of the flying monkey costumes I heard that was sold a few years ago. I don't know how much.
That is not on the top five, no.
Okay. Is there a watch on there by any chance?
No, there is not.
Okay.
Would you say a watch? Is that what you said?
Well,
Yeah.
there was a Steve McQueen watch that he wore in one of
But
his racing movies.
you're not talking about props per se. You're talking about the entire costume.
I am talking about the entire costume. Steve
How about?
McQueen's racing suit from Le Mans is number six, but I only asked
Wow.
for the top five. So,
All right. Okay.
How about Darth Vader's costume or in
Oh,
that ilk? Yeah.
I don't believe that's ever been sold, but
Oh, wow. Okay.
it's a great guess. Yeah.
But are some, is at least one of them like that, where it's a full covering and we don't even see the actor?
I will say head to toe covering, but not face covering is one of them.
Ooh, all right. So that's
Well,
that one.
I do recall they sold Audrey Hepburn's dress, that black dress she wore in Breakfast at
Yeah.
Tiffany's.
Yes, the Breakfast at Tiffany's dress is number five. So,
Okay.
good
All right.
job.
Well, that's
Well,
something anyway.
okay. And how about Marilyn Monroe's dress in where her dress blows up in the subway in the 7-year itch?
Yes, that is number one for
Ooh.
$4.6 million.
Good, good,
Wow.
good, good, good.
Good job. So we only have two left. We have number two and number three out there.
Okay. All right. We can
Okay,
leave that out.
great.
All right. Just give the question once more, if you would.
Sure. I'm looking for number two and number three on the of the top five highest selling movie costumes at auction of all time.
Okay, good. And Lori, you're up.
All right. See if I can explain the premise of this question. I'm looking for people who won an Academy Award, okay, in the movies for best actor or best actress. And then after that, the show appeared on Broadway. And I'm going to give you the names of a number of people who won or were nominated for a Tony. And I want to know the film and the original actor or actress who won the Academy Award. That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you the list first. So the list includes Bryan Cranston. Number two is Gary Sinise. So all these people, after somebody won an Oscar for this role, there was a play version. Sometimes it was originally a movie, sometimes not. And they were nominated or won a Tony. So Bryan Cranston, Gary Sinise. Number three is Cicely Tyson. Number four is Blythe Danner. Number five is Colleen Dewhurst. And number six is Kathleen Turner. All nominated or won a Tony for award that had a previous life that won an Oscar for somebody. I want to know who won the Oscar and what the film was.
I think Kathleen Turner won for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
And who won the Oscar for that?
Elizabeth Taylor.
Correct. She was Kathleen Turner was nominated. Elizabeth Taylor won. Give yourself a bell on that one. Very good.
So these are not the same. They didn't win an Oscar and a Tony for the same. It's somebody different
So
winning the
yes, yeah.
Tony.
All the names I all mentioned did not win the Oscar, right?
I
Like
okay, sorry, I misunderstood you.
yeah,
Okay, got
Kathleen
it.
Turner played Martha in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. Elizabeth Taylor won the Oscar, so Dana got that one. So I'm looking for others of that ilk.
Okay. So I'm gonna guess Gary Sinise for did Forrest Gump become a Broadway play?
I don't know if it did.
I actually
Okay.
think it did, honestly. I
Yeah,
think it may have.
probably was turned into a musical, but Gary Sinise was that was not what he was
Okay.
nominated for. That's a really
Okay.
good guess. I think, let me check here. Of the people I mentioned, none of them were in the movie version. Gary Sinise was in Forrest Gump. None of these people were in the version of the movie. That makes sense? So Kathleen Turner was not in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm looking once again for Bryan Cranston, Gary Sinise, Cicely Tyson, Blythe Danner and Colleen Dewhurst all nominated or won a Tony for a role that won an Oscar for somebody.
All right.
Okay, was Cicely Tyson in Fences?
I don't know, but that's not, I'm not sure if
Okay,
she was or not,
okay.
but that's not the one.
Okay.
Another good
I
guess.
don't have a great answer then.
Okay. How about Dana, you got one?
No, I'm not right offhand.
I
Colleen
would think.
Dewhurst, I'm working on
Okay. I
thinking
would
about.
think Bryan Cranston might have been the most recent and maybe the best known.
Yeah.
I thought that would be the low hanging fruit.
Oh, great.
But definitely Kathleen Turner was lower hanging fruit, apparently.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll leave it
Partially.
out there. Audience. So it's
School
Lenny
bus.
Henry, Bryan Cranston, Gary Sinise, Cicely Tyson, Blythe Danner, and Colleen Dewhurst nominated or won Tonys for a role that in the movies won somebody an Oscar for Best Actor or Actress. And that's what I'm
Right.
looking for.
You are listening to KALW. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Feel free to give us a call. We'd love to hear from you with a question or answer. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134, or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, hi, this is Richard in Oakland.
Hi, Richard.
And I'm thinking of an actor who portrayed a character in a movie and then played the same character on TV, winning an Emmy for it. Who was it?
So was this in a
Was
series on TV or
Yes,
something?
it was a series. Got six
So
nominations, won once for the Emmy.
it originated as a movie and then played the same role on TV,
Yes.
correct? Okay.
Yes.
What? I'm sorry, you said six Emmys, but
Six Emmy nominations and won once.
this particular actor for playing this role.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
Would it be
Six.
too much to tell us what genre it was?
It was comedy.
Oh. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Okay.
Oh, he played the role on Broadway.
And then
No,
turn
no,
it. Oh,
no.
not on
Not
Broadway.
on Broadway. Broadway.
Oh, in the movies. I'm
In a
sorry.
movie. That was my
In
question.
Hollywood
Yeah.
film, yes.
Yep. Hey, Dana, did Tony Randall or Jack Klugman or Cameron play in The Odd Couple? Oh, no. That's a Broadway. Never mind that.
Right.
Got my own question twisted. Oh, this is good. Well, you want to tell us the
And
decade it
he
happened
also
in or? Oh.
had a professional skill that he demonstrated once in the TV series in one episode.
Oh no.
Totally
Okay.
totally unrelated to the character.
Did he ever win one of the Emmys?
Yes, he won once
Okay.
for the six nominations, yes.
So, since he was nominated six times, the show must have been on for at least six seasons.
Oh,
That's right.
it was, and won Emmys for the show itself.
Would it be too much of a giveaway to tell us the decade this was?
He left the show before it ended. It was in the 1970s. Is
Okay.
it MASH? No, that doesn't make sense. It
No, they
could be
didn't. The
MASH.
people in
Yeah,
the
they didn't. Yeah,
the people in the movie weren't in the TV
it was a
series.
different movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. That's wrong. There was
Yeah.
only one character in the
In
movie.
the
He transitioned to the
Oh,
comedy
between
TV show.
MASH, yeah.
Ah.
Let's see.
It's a good
It
question.
was
This
MASH.
is a
It was MASH.
Oh, it
Oh,
was
then
MASH.
it
Right.
was
MASH.
Radar O'Reilly.
That's right. Who's that actor?
Gary,
Gary, yeah, you're right.
Berghoff? No.
Burkoff. That's
Is
right.
right. And what was his special skill, unrelated to his job in the role, that he
that
demonstrated once?
Huh.
How about
He was a
juggling?
professional. He was a professional drummer.
Oh,
Oh.
good
I just saw the
knowledge.
episode. I just saw the
Way to go.
episode on TV.
Way to go, Cameron. That's good.
Oh,
MASH.
that'd be the.
I was thinking it was the star, but that's very good.
Good
Gary
job.
Berghoff.
And
Yeah.
thank you. Thank you very much for the question.
What role first brought him to fame on Broadway?
On Broadway? Ooh.
Wow.
And he didn't win any awards for it. He was the original Charlie Brown in You're a Good Man.
Oh, that makes sense.
Wow. Okay.
There you go.
Casting. He looks like that. Yeah. All right. Well, the three of us got that together. That was
pretty good. Go team.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Whew, I'm exhausted.
And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to hear from you. Area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Our panel today, that would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. Lori Fisher teaches at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. All right, here, let me do a couple questions. All right, with tariffs in the news here, what are the two states with the highest percentage of imports from Canada and the two states with the highest percentage of imports from Mexico? Okay.
Okay.
Two states with the highest percentage of imports from Canada and the two states with the highest percentage of imports from Mexico.
So is this of their total imports, the highest percentage from Canada?
Yes. Okay. Total imports.
So it could be a small state.
Yeah.
Right. We're not looking for total.
I feel
go ahead.
Okay. I feel like the obvious guess for Canada is Alaska. Because they're right next door.
good logic there.
But good logic. Okay, no. Got it.
Joanne is guessing Michigan for the highest imports from Canada, I presume.
No.
I read something about Vermont. Let me put Vermont out there. Is that on the list for the highest? No. Okay.
There's no maple syrup quota that they fill their own maple syrup. Maple syrup.
I thought they got a lot more lumber than you thought from Canada. Mm. Okay. Makes sense. All right. That it's a border state, but not necessarily.
Okay.
Necessarily a border state.
You know? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Nevada for Mexico?
Not Nevada.
Okay.
So once more, what are the two states with the highest percentage of imports from Canada? And what are the two states with the highest percentage of imports from Mexico?
I'll take one guess on Mexico. How about Arizona?
Not Arizona. Okay. All right. Here's another question. What 20th century artist, well-known name, what 20th century artist is considered the most faked artist in history?
Most faked.
Not Andy Warhol. That was last week I asked that question about
the stolen artist.
Stolen artist, and that's Andy Warhol.
How about Jackson Pollock?
Not Jackson Pollock.
That's a good guess.
Easy to fake. Well, yeah. Maybe not. Probably not easy to fake, but easy to think you're faking it well.
So once more, what 20th century artist is considered the most faked in history?
The American artist?
I'm not going to say.
Okay.
That means yes. I think it means yes.
No, I don't know. Most faked.
How about Rothko?
No.
Okay.
I'll take one more, guys. How about Rauschenberg?
No.
Because he does those cartoons, which I've seen faked.
Yep. No? All right.
Yes? Can I? How about Banksy?
No.
Okay.
That's good.
Banksy has been faked, but this artist is the one I'm looking for has a much higher volume of fakes. So.
And is it painting? Can we ask that?
Yes, it is painting.
Okay.
Give you that.
Okay, think about it.
All right, and last question here. In the 1957 flop film, The Story of Mankind, these stars that I'm going to list for you played what famous historical roles? Now, The Story of Mankind was sort of a catalog of history, a small piece of history with well-known stars playing various historical roles. And it was a fight between good and evil in terms of mankind should survive and blah, blah. But I'm going to list you four stars, and they all played famous historical roles. I want you to tell me what they were. Number one, Harpo Marx. Number two, Peter Lorre. Number three, Dennis Hopper. Number four, Hedy Lamarr. So in the 1957 flop film, The Story of Mankind, these stars played what famous historical roles? Number one, Harpo Marx. Number two, Peter Lorre. Number three, Dennis Hopper. Number four, Hedy Lamarr.
I've seen this film. not all that. So this is sort of in my mind. I kind of have a guess or two, but Cameron, you go first.
Okay. All right, one guess each, please.
Okay. I think I know one. I have not seen this film, but from when Dennis Hopper died, I remember seeing a picture of him playing Napoleon. Okay. Is this the movie
that is correct?
Played?
Dennis Hopper played Napoleon.
That's great. What year was the film?
1957.
Wow, Hopper Amazing. Must have been a very young Napoleon. Harpo played somebody brilliant, so I think he played Sir Isaac Newton.
That is correct.
Ooh, good.
Good. Okay. Yes. Harpo Marx played.
That's fun.
Isaac Newton and Dennis Hopper played Napoleon. So we're still looking for Peter Lorre and Hedy Lamarr.
I don't remember. Did he speak in the movie as Newton or not?
No.
I don't. Okay. A silent Isaac Newton. That's cool. Good
Just
question.
Hit with an apple, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right. And then the first two questions were the two U.S. states with the highest percentage of imports from Canada and the two U.S. states with the highest percentage of imports from Mexico. And who is the most faked 20th century artist in history? I should say, what 20th century artist is considered the most faked in history? So... And that takes in, it's not just, we're not just talking about what 20th century artist, it's what artist is the most faked. So, all right. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi.
Cameron.
Yes.
Cameron, give me credit for good thinking.
Okay.
Because my guess for the dress,
yes,
since is based on the movie Gone with the Wind, is it a dress worn by Scarlett O'Hara?
No, that would make so much sense, particularly the curtain dress. Yeah, but no, there's not.
So much memorabilia in that famous curtain dress.
Yeah. No, but the great guess.
Thank you.
For guessing.
That's what I was looking for.
No bell, though.
Okay. And actually, because this came across, and this I was going to mention it last week because it was closer to the date. But let me ask you just in general, all of you, died on the same day. Can you name famous events of famous people who died on the same day?
A particular day?
Yeah, any particular day.
And there are famous dates and there are other significant things.
John F. Kennedy and Aldous Huxley died on the same day.
Jefferson.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that. This one, it was exactly 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Yeah.
Is it Jefferson and Adams?
Yes.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, because yes. Adams lives and, is like his famous last words.
Joseph Stalin and Sergei Prokofiev died on the same day.
You knew the hard one. I thought that would be the hardest. No, because the other thing I was going to ask when you talk about Jefferson and Adams, you knew that. So they were a few hours apart. One, Adams was in the afternoon. Jefferson was around noon, supposedly. And geographically not close together because one was Monticello and the Virginia and the other one was Quincy, Massachusetts. The other one, the one that was the closest geographically was the one you mentioned already, Prokofiev. How'd you know Prokofiev and Stalin?
How? I don't know. I Dana like knows history everything. And I like classical music. So there you go.
Well, no, he does the show.
Because the anniversary of that, that was on March 5th of 1953. Famous, because Stalin died. And how close were they? Did they die when they died? How close were they to each other geographically?
I don't know. I think Prokofiev lived around in the Moscow area, but
Prokofiev was Moscow, yes.
And
Stalin.
Stalin had a house. I think he died in his house outside of Moscow. But
you're exactly right. A dacha. What do they call them? A dacha.
Dacha. Right.
But yeah, you're right, and Stalin was just it was within an hour, but a little later than Prokofiev, and they're the closest in all regards. But you can't think of another one in California, 12 hours apart.
No,
Los Angeles area.
No,
was it Hearst?
No, but and this is 2009.
Oh, was Heath Ledger one of them?
No, this is pop culture.
Heath Ledger, pop culture. It's Michael Jackson and Katy Perry?
No,
Michael Jackson.
Not Katy Perry. Of course. Not Katy Perry.
Audience, Katy Perry. Not dead.
She's not dead. I'm so sorry. The singer. What is her name?
Michael Jackson was, of course, a dubious doctor or whatever. And 12 hours earlier, who died?
Amy. What is her name? Amy.
Amy Winehouse.
Amy Winehouse. Thank you. Is that who it is?
No. Not a singer, but a well-known, iconic in her own way.
No, we
not
don't
sure.
know.
Yeah.
Charlie's Angels?
Oh, Farrah Fawcett?
Yes. Farrah Fawcett died 12 hours earlier.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. Who knew?
All right.
Sorry I missed the one. I'm going to keep racking my mind. What's the question about the dress?
Highest grossing auction item is a movie costume.
I would love to know where that curtain dress is.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, that would be worth a lot of money.
On the Carol Burnett show, maybe.
Right. That was that holds the record for the longest laugh.
Yeah,
something like that in TV history. They couldn't stop cracking up when she walked down with the curtain rod still in it. It's still funny to think about.
It is.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Bye bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. If you'd like to come and join us, you are more than welcome to do that. Please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. And Cameron, I think it's your turn.
Okay. I have two questions about magazine covers. So I'm wondering, who was featured on the first cover of TV Guide in 1953? And then who are the only two men to appear solo on the cover of Playboy? Cool. So two different magazines, two different questions.
Wasn't Lucille Ball the first person on the cover of TV Guide?
She was on the cover, but she was in a little inset picture in the top right corner. So somebody else was the big picture.
Was it her baby? Was it little Ricky? Yeah.
Good. It was Desi Arnaz Jr. Good job. So then we're looking for who are the only two men to appear solo on the cover of Playboy.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. And would we like nod our head and say that's a good choice because they represent something that Playboy was doing then?
I will say I would nod my head. You guys would probably nod your head about one of them. They're both in the last decade. I will say that.
Dana, is Hugh Hefner Did he pass away? Because they might have put him on the cover.
Probably not.
Okay.
Well, Laurie, you're absolutely correct. He passed away in 2017, and they put an old photo of him on the cover. So
the young,
that is
the
one.
Young Hef. Okay.
Young Hef.
You get the other. How about the young Dana Rodriguez?
Yeah, no. They'd be so lucky. Was Burt Reynolds one of them?
No. Great guess. Was he
on Cosmopolitan? He did the fold out in Cosmopolitan.
Chester.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was there some irony or something to the person?
No, I don't think it was ironic. Is somebody who's very famous now.
Was Trump ever on the cover?
No, but he was on the cover, but not solo.
Okay, so
it was in the 80s. And if I recall the article, there was a quote saying he might run for president in the Republican Party because they'd be easier to fool.
I know that Peter Sellers was on the cover at some point. Was Peter Sellers one of them?
That's possible, not by himself.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Don't know.
Okay.
All right. Just give the question once more. If you
okay. Will. So the question that I'm still looking for is, who are the only two men to appear solo on the cover of Playboy? We got Hugh Hefner after he passed away. That's one of them. I'm looking for the other.
All right.
And would the other one be a Playboy? Like, would we say, hey, you know, the Trump kind of thing? Or
he's kind of posed as a Playboy sort of thing, but I don't think he would immediately jump to mind as that.
Okay. Good question.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, hello. This is Sam in San Francisco. Hello.
Hey, Sam.
It's for the dress at auction question.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing in It's a Wonderful Life, Gloria Graham was the dress she was wearing. And George Bailey said, that's quite a dress there, and she said what it was she was
yeah.
Gloria Graham playing Violet Bick said what this old thing
and, that's a great guess it is not that. I would love that to be the answer, but no, it is not.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah.
Much more an elaborate dress, if that's
I didn't think that was the answer, but it was a reference to the dress, so I thought, you know.
Yeah,
who knows?
absolutely
All right, that's
thank
it.
You
that's all I got.
Thank you so much.
We have some guesses on our emails here. And Sandra of Donnie and Sandra, excuse me, had a guess on Lori's question. Was it Lori? Yeah, it was Lori.
Yeah,
maybe. Don't say yeah, you haven't heard it yet. They say, I think Bryan Cranston played Howard Beale in Network on Broadway, for which Peter Finch won the Oscar. Posthumously.
Everything she said is correct.
Good
Very
job.
Good. Bryan Cranston winning for Network, yeah.
Okay, and she also say, I think Blythe Danner played Blanche DuBois in Streetcar Named Desire, for which Vivien Leigh won the Oscar.
Excellent. Correct? That's true. Blythe Danner won in 1988. She was actually nominated, and Vivien Leigh did win for Blanche DuBois. Very good.
And also wondered if Colleen Dewhurst played with Kathleen Turner, or did a twofer with Kathleen Turner for Martha on Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Absolutely correct.
She was in the first one. She was in the original on Broadway, I believe.
Well, Colleen Dewhurst was nominated in 1977.
I thought she was in the first go around with that.
No,
all
it
right.
was. Oh, wait a minute. Was that Uta Hagen? I'm not sure.
Oh, anyway, possible. All right.
Yeah, Kathleen Turner was 2005. So very good. Excellent work.
All right. Good work. All right. Good job.
Cool.
And Michael is wondering if the movie costume highest price is Chaplin Little Tramp costume.
It is not. Great guess, but no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Danny is wondering if died on the same day, Elvis Presley and Bing Crosby. I don't think they died on the same day. I thought that was a year apart, but almost on the same day, but a year apart. Well, I may be wrong about that, but I don't think it was the same day. But let's see. Hillary was wondering. Oh, Hillary got Bryan Cranston, Peter Finch, and that worked good. Ring a bell for that. And all right, we'll get back to that later. Okay, great. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
All right. Well, this is a new subject. I was thinking about Panama and Donald Trump's weird plan to take over places. So as far as I know, he's not thinking of taking over Panama and making it the 53rd state. But I was wondering how big Panama was. So my question was, if Panama were to be a state, where would it be numerically as far as its size? And which would be the two states that were bigger than it? And which would be the two states smaller than Panama if for some reason it became one of the United States? That makes sense? So I'm not asking how big it is, but where would it be? Would it be 1, 2, 7, 23, that kind of thing?
And population-wise?
No.
South. Oh, okay.
Yeah, square miles. And which would be, where would it fit between, which two would be slightly bigger and slightly smaller? You can start with those.
Thanks. Gosh, okay. I would think it would be somewhere in the middle of the square mileage list. Is that
so like in the 20s?
Like 22.
Yeah, 20, that's too low. That's 20, too low.
That's too low, okay.
It's lower on the list.
Well, not that big. I couldn't give you a number on it, but
I'm not looking for the number of square miles, but the number in its ranking, or even which states would, two states would be bigger and two states smaller than it.
I would say it is a middle to small size state. Then trying to think of a good comparison here. North Carolina or South Carolina? One of those.
Yes, South Carolina. Wow. Would be just above it. Very good.
Okay, so it's bigger than South Carolina, but it's
It's one step smaller than South Carolina.
One step smaller. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it would slip right behind South Carolina. Very good. We're looking for one more slightly bigger and two more slightly smaller.
Okay, slightly smaller than maybe Maine.
Maine is the other slightly bigger. Very good. Okay. Give her a bell on that. Yeah.
Good.
And just to give you the number, it would be the 41st biggest state. So it would be in the lower 10. And we have what South Carolina and Maine being slightly bigger, and which two would be slightly smaller.
All right. That out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other people. And we are a little past halfway through, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. And Cameron, we'll start with you.
Okay, I am looking for two of the top five highest grossing movie costumes at auction. So we have, so far, we already have Marilyn Monroe's 7-year itch dress was number one. Dorothy's gingham dress in The Wizard of Oz is number four. And Audrey Hepburn's black dress from Breakfast at Tiffany's was number five. The others, I'll give you a hint, are one is a dress and one is a costume, like to turn you into a completely different thing. And then my other question is, who are the only two men to appear solo on the cover of Playboy? One was Hugh Hefner after he passed away in 2017, and I'm looking for the other.
Okay.
Much more recent. Well, not Sorry. Much more recent, more recent.
I'm looking, Gary Sinise and Cicely Tyson were both nominated or won a Tony Award for a role for which someone else won an Oscar. What was the role? What was the film? Who won the Oscar? And then just Panama would be the 41st biggest state if it became a state, which as far as I know, it's not. I want to know the two states it would be slightly bigger than. And that's all I have.
All right. I have, what are the two U.S. states with the highest percentage of imports from Canada? And what are the two U.S. states with the highest percentage of imports from Mexico? All right. And what 20th century artist is considered the most faked in history? I just got an email about that. wondering if it was Picasso. It's not Picasso. And in the 1957 film Flop, The Story of Mankind, I had a list of people here, and I asked famous actors and who, what role they played from history. And the only two I have left here are Peter Lorre and Hedy Lamarr. What historical role did they play in the 1957 film, The Story of Mankind? So, all right. Some email guesses. Eddie is wondering if Cicely Tyson won for A Trip to Bountiful, for which Geraldine Page won the Academy Award.
Did you say Eddie guessed that?
Yes.
Absolutely. That is correct.
All right.
They both played a character named Kerry Watts. Geraldine Page won the Oscar in 85 and Cicely Tyson in 2013.
All right. Janos makes the point that JFK, Aldous Huxley, and C.S. Lewis all died on the same day. Let's see. Okay. And wait a minute. Is it my turn? All right. I'll give you a question.
It is.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, let me see here. Can I give you, thinking about this now? All right. What are the two countries in the Americas? You know, that's North America, Central America, and South America. What are the two countries in the Americas with the shortest average height for an adult male? So what are the two countries in the Americas with the shortest average height for an adult male?
Go ahead, Cameron. What do you got?
I will say one, that's the average height is 5'4".
Okay.
And the other, the shortest average height is 5'5".
Okay.
And is there any kind of logical, genetic, or cultural reason this would be true that you can think of?
Culturally, that I don't know. But it's... genetically, yeah, that's quite possible. There's a particular reason for it.
Like the people who survived worked in caves or something like that and had to be small.
Well, I don't know about the cave theory, but it's...
okay,
but I'm sure obviously genetics plays a role in it. Yeah,
I'm thinking, how about a country like Guatemala?
Guatemala is indeed one.
Wow. Okay. I was going to guess like Bolivia.
Not Bolivia.
Or Peru?
Peru is the other. Peru. Very good.
Okay.
Good job. Okay,
yes, Guatemala and Peru are the two countries in the Americas with the shortest average height for an adult male. All right. Very good. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, it's Peter and Linnea on Bernal.
Hi.
With yet another Oscar question.
All right.
Great.
Of all the actors who have won the best actor Oscar over the years, who have made the most films in Hollywood? Yeah. I'm looking for the top four.
Wow, that's an interesting question. I like it.
And I have a hint. Two of them were born within 30 miles of each other, so 30 years apart.
I would think that John Wayne made many, many films as a star, but he made many, many little BC films as a, you know, quickie westerns before he became a star. So is John Wayne one?
He's up there, but not in the top four.
Okay, not in the top four.
I'm thinking like you, somebody who was a character actor maybe and did a lot of films, right?
And this has to be best actor, you said, correct?
Yes.
And they all won, or were they nominated?
All won.
How about Tom Hanks?
No, he's up there, but...
I don't think he's old enough.
I would guess that this has to go back to the hardcore studio days, wouldn't it?
Some of them go pretty far back, yeah.
And so would some of them have been in silent films as well?
Yes, I'm sure.
Okay.
I will tell you the birth name of one of them, Alfred Reginald Jones.
Alfred Jones.
Wait a minute, isn't that Ray Milland?
It is.
Wow. Well, he's one of them? Wow.
Yeah. Won 1945 for Lost Weekend. 133 total films.
Wow.
I would think, how about Lionel Barrymore?
No.
Huh.
Wow.
Another
one. Lots of silent films.
How about Bogart?
No.
No. He's a lot.
Hmm.
What about Laurence Olivier? No.
No.
Are any of them still alive?
I'm not sure. Some may be.
Interesting. All right. So tell us when, you don't have to tell us the movie or anything, but when these people were, at least the decade they won their Academy Awards.
Okay. Top of the list is the 50s.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't be Brando. He didn't make enough.
No.
What about Yul Brynner?
No.
I don't think he made enough.
Or Alec Guinness?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
One for a movie whose title is five letters long.
Ernest Borgnine?
Yes.
Oh. Wow.
148 films.
Wow.
The star of Marty.
I'm shocked I got that clue, but I did.
Okay.
And you scooped Dana on it too.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
All right.
Need another hint.
Oh yeah, are we? There's one more. Or
okay, the 80s.
Oh.
80s. Somebody won the 80s. Ooh.
Presumably, someone who'd been working for a long time.
Yeah.
So someone who was old in the 80s.
Yeah, and he won a Best Actor Oscar in the 80s. So, Cameron, you should know all this.
Oh, yeah. I was really going to a lot of theater movies in the 80s. How about Henry Fonda?
No.
That's a good guess.
Yeah.
I'll give you 1983.
I don't know who won in 1983.
Yeah, I don't know the years at all.
The film was Tender Mercies.
Oh, Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall?
Yes.
Oh.
No kidding. Okay. That's
93 films.
Wow. Right. Wasn't his first film was To Kill a Mockingbird, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Boo Radley.
Yeah, behind the door.
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. All right. Give us a hint on the last one.
1991.
1991.
Oh, was that the year of Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Yes. So Anthony Hopkins?
Yes. 86 films.
Wow.
Really? All right.
Nice work.
Good job, guys.
Good question. We're brutal.
Yeah. I like that.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Take care.
Good clues.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. If you'd like to call us and join in with a question or answer, feel free to do that. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. Laura, you want to throw in a quick question here?
I do. It's because Cameron's on. It's a local color question.
Oh, dear.
I want to know, what is the Halfway to Hell Club?
Oh,
and the reason I'm asking you, the clue is going to be it's only available to people who either lived or worked in San Francisco at some point. What is it?
As the people who, okay, now I'm second guessing myself. It's either people who accidentally fell off the Golden Gate Bridge while working on it or people who survived after trying to jump off of it.
It's the first group, people first working group. On the bridge who accidentally fell off and were saved by the net, and they were considered to be the Halfway to Hell people.
Yes.
Oh, very good. And I think there were 19 of them who were in the Halfway to Hell Club. All right.
It's quite a club.
All right, good job.
I got another quick letter. You might have one, too.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so this one, I don't think I asked this, but I like this one. Rolling Stone has had a bunch of articles about the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, and they had a group of critics pick the all-time best recurring characters. Mm-hmm. Only 8 of the 50 were women, and only 2 of the women were played by men. I want to know the 2 roles of the 50 best recurrent roles that were women played by men on Saturday Night Live.
Okay. Was one Mike Myers with his talk show host, whose name I
Yes.
can't remember?
Remember? That's it. It's
I don't remember
Linda
the name.
Richman.
There you
Yeah,
go.
who got
Thank
all
you.
for Clem. Very good. All right. So that's one of them.
Job. And
Looking for one more man who played a woman that was a recurring character.
man who played a woman.
Yeah.
Is this so? This is not a one shot. This would
They were,
be
this is recurring, and I think this one recurred quite a
recurring.
bit.
Is it Dana Carvey?
It is Dana Carvey.
Okay, but with the curly gray hair. Again,
It is the curly
I don't
gray
know the
hair.
name of this person. Yeah.
Right. The church lady.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I don't think she had a name. Very good. Dana Carvey is the church lady, and Mike Myers as Linda Richman. Yeah, very
I
good.
like that. That's great.
Yeah,
Okay.
very good.
All
All
right,
right.
good. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name is Steve. I'm in the Portola district of San
Hi.
Francisco.
Hi, Steve.
And my guess for imports from Canada is Minnesota and New York.
Neither, actually.
Oh.
No.
And from Mexico, California, and New York.
Neither.
How?
And Andrew Wyeth.
I'm sorry,
No.
say that once more. I didn't hear the last part.
Andrew Wyeth.
Oh, in terms of the most faked 20th century artist?
Yeah.
No, it is not Andrew Wyeth.
Okay, well, I struck out. Thanks a
All good
lot.
guesses.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Yes. So again, I think we might have an answer on the 20th century artist. Michael sent an email. Most fake 20th century artist is Salvador Dali.
Oh.
And that is correct. Salvador Dali is the most faked 20th century artist. Good job, Michael.
Nice. Yeah.
Right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. So, a very quick question. How many American presidents visited Egypt during the presidency? Three, five, or eight? I'm
I'm
sorry,
sorry,
nine. Three, five, or
how
nine?
many visited Egypt?
American president visited Egypt during their presidency. Three,
Three.
five, or nine? Nine.
Nine.
Herbert
Wow.
Hoover. Who was the first one?
Interesting.
1943, and he actually did it twice, 1943 and 1945.
Then either Truman or Roosevelt, I would imagine.
Franklin D. Roosevelt. Yes. The second time he was sent by Truman. It was in 1945. Okay, very cool question. All right. So the word Semitic again, and we're going through a lot of ignorance and a lot of hate. The word Semitic, does it refer to race, religion, or group of languages? Please, everybody, make note of that, because the media is really making a very bad job dealing with that. And world brothers and sisters, we need to get rid of hate of all kind. So what is it? Race, religion, or group of languages?
It's languages, I believe.
Of course. It's a group of language. And the main character of them is Hebrew and Arabic, as well as Aramaic and a few other languages. And Yiddish is not Semitic. Yiddish is Germanic, I'm sorry, hard language, German language. It's a combination of Hebrew and German. But we really should preach peace in the world and get rid of this hate. But last very quick one. Is tariff is paid by Canada, Mexico, and China, or by the American people?
Of
American
course, it'll
people.
be the American people to pay it.
Of course. Not only it is paid by America, make everything very expensive, but also bring trade wars, which is awful. We are in a very, very dark situation. Let me show. Please, everybody, donate to KLAW, KPFA, and KQDFM, because I'm really scared to death to have them in the chopping block. I won't be coming for a long time. It's very hard to fire people. How dare they fire all of these tens of thousands of people? These people have mortgage, they have kids, they have college tuition to pay. This is dark age. Thank you very much again. And everybody, please be proud of this show. It's a good show to exchange information. Thank you again. Have a very good day.
Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
And on that note,
St. Patrick's Day.
Let's see. Can we take one more call? Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, everybody. Let's see. Okay, so I'll see what I can do with some of these. The Panama, the two smaller states, next smallest, yeah. I guess. How about Hawaii and West Virginia?
Those are two of them. Very good.
Oh, good
and the
job.
Other one would be Yay. Maryland. West Virginia's just below in Hawaii. Yeah, and Maryland's in there too. Excellent. That takes that off the table. Good
out.
Work.
And then, Dana, your story of mankind, I'll take some a guess at. Hedy Lamarr, how about Curie? Marie Curie?
Not Marie Curie.
Or Queen Elizabeth I?
No.
Okay.
No.
Who was
Agnes
the other
Moorehead
you're
played
missing?
Queen Elizabeth I.
Ooh, that would have been great.
I got to see this
I've
movie.
I've got to see it now.
Yeah.
You do.
Yeah.
It's terribly
okay, that's
good.
That's all I got. Oh, and I remember reading a little tidbit. Do you know why Dolly was the most faked artist?
Sounds like a joke is coming.
No.
I've read this. So who knows if it's true. But apparently he would just take like large sketchbooks and just sign blank pages. people would get a hold of him because he thought it was funny. So he would just, go through like a 1,000-page sketchbook and sign every page. And then leave it for
surreal.
People.
Surreal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind work.
All right. Thanks. Great show.
Thanks.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
It.
Bye.
Dana, I think I have Hedy Lamarr. Did she play Joan of Arc?
She did play Joan of Arc.
Yes. Good. Good.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And the story of mankind. Okay. Yeah. Time to clean up here. Cameron, you go first.
Okay, the two movie costumes that fetch the most at auction that are left out are Audrey Hepburn's ascot dress from My Fair Lady at number two, and the Cowardly Lion suit from The Wizard of Oz, which was made of actual lion fur, at number
really?
Three. It was.
Wow.
Isn't that awful? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other person who has appeared solo on the cover of Playboy, the other male, is Bad Bunny in 2020, the Puerto Rican rapper. Who performed at the Grammys? So that's why I said he's well known.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't see him on the cover. I stopped reading Playboy, so I'll have to check it out. The only one I have remaining is Gary Sinise. Anybody got it?
No.
No.
He played Randall McMurphy in a stage version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, for which Jack Nicholson won the Oscar. He played in 2001. Nicholson won in 1975. And that is all I have.
What about Cicely Tyson? Did we get that?
Oh, we did that. Somebody called in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it.
She was in A Trip to Bountiful and Geraldine
Page.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. No, thank you.
Okay. All right. Good job. And the two states with the highest percentage of imports from Canada, that would be Montana. 93% of their imports come from Canada. Maine, 72% of their imports come from Canada. Mexico, let's see, the states with the highest percentage of their imports from Mexico, that would be Texas, 49%, and Oklahoma, 56%.
All red states, wow.
Yes. Yeah. On the 1957 flop from The Story of Mankind, the only one we didn't get was Peter Lorre. Peter Lorre played Nero.
Ooh.
Nero. And I think that is it for me, right? Okay. If we didn't get your call, I do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thanks to our panel today. That would be Cameron Shaw, teacher and cinematographer. Lori Fisher teaches at Napa Valley College. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. I'm Dana Rodriguez. I've been your moderator. It's been a great pleasure, and we do hope you will join us again next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Have a great week, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and we look forward to hearing you. Bye-bye.